morning, everybody. The Father gives away His word and His breath, and all things are called into being. This mystery of love and of life is a gift, and its glory beyond human reason. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth His glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Whatever He speaks is worthy to be pure and blameless and holy. Whatever He breathes is lovely indeed, forever reflecting His glory. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth His glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth His glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Thank you. So I just as soon as I started singing, I realized this is the first singing I've done out of my mouth this morning, so I'm glad we got through that one. I probably should have warmed up. I just somehow forgot to, so I'm sorry if this ends up being a little rough, but you seem like, you know, pleasant people, and we're neighbors, you know, and stuff, so I'm sure it'll be okay. Do you want to sing? I'll be fine, yeah. Okay, repeat after me. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of Your glory are full. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, so just get your imagination maybe awake a little bit too. When we sing a song like this, it's worth remembering that this has been called the Hymn of Heaven. The lyric comes from Isaiah 6. And Isaiah was sort of mystically transported into the heavenlies. He's minding his own business and all of a sudden finds himself in the throne room of God with all the angels and all the saints, and there's pillars and there's everything shaking and there's smoke, and it's high drama and high praise as the angels are swirling around the throne of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of His glory." And it's just this magnificent scene. And so when we sing this song, we're joining our voices with those voices, right? We're not alone here. And there's not two bodies of Christ, one in heaven and one on earth. There's one, and we're in it. And these are the people that we celebrate with: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebecca, my grandpa, my grandma, folks that you know and can't see anymore. This is the actual reality of our lives. This is who we celebrate Christ with. All these great folks. And so we sort of gather with them all and join our voice with their voice. So sing it out like you can see it with your eyes, not just your heart. Someday we'll see it with our eyes as well. That'll be a big day. Okay. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of Your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the high. Holy? Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Should we all do this? Why not? I mean, if there's something about getting our whole bodies to do this thing. We don't want just with this little piece here. You know, there's absolutely no theological reason why the rest of us can't do this work, right? And sometimes I think that we think that all of our worship and our understanding of God is, and our praise of God is here and here. Right, and the truth is that when God revealed himself to us, he revealed himself in a full body. Right, and the incarnation basically means that matter matters. Right, God uses it, and we should use it in its fullness. So, okay, this might be a little weird for some of you, but stand up. Okay, now this isn't dancing; it's an action song. Okay, so just so you know, there's a difference. Okay, so it goes like this: Holy, 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 Lord. God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. So that's that wellspring of living water, right? Just like a fountain. Then Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You just drop your hands. This is the descent of Christ into our midst, who comes to be with us that we can be with him, right? And we do that twice. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then back to the holy, holy, holy. And then back to the blessed is he. And we do this over and over again until probably 10, 10:05, somewhere like that. So, till the Spirit falls. Okay, let's do this. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Blessed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, wave Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Did we do this last year when I was here? Did we do it silently? We did it? Without the thing? We got to do that again, because what it does is it teaches us something that we've lost, that we've got a whole body to work with in praise of our Maker, right? And the story, for those of you that weren't here last year, I told it, was my father was in a communist country several years ago, and he's teaching, and he taught them this song. They were out in a little country sort of area, in a place that it wasn't okay to be publicly Christian, but they were out in the country, and it was okay, and they sang, and he taught them the song. The last couple of days of this conference he was giving, they moved into the city, and they were meeting in someone's basement or something, and they said, we can't sing because, you know, we'll be heard. So we can't worship. And Dad said, of course we can worship. Just close the mouth and do the rest. So they had learned this, so they worshiped God just with the actions. So in solidarity, and again, just as an exercise, this is really good. Let's do it. Ready? No noise. Don't want to be discovered. Okay, let's do this. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of fun. Do you feel the burn? Yeah. It's Christian aerobics. No. I got a new one for you. I just wrote this No, rocky. Okay, this might not go that well. It's new, but you didn't pay to get in, so it's there's a fellow your opening antiphon at the service is about love of God and this is what this is about. Do you guys know St. Margaret's Church in Wolseley? The pastor there is David Whittacombe. He's a great preacher. And a friend of mine sent me a sermon of his that he had blogged, and it just so moved me, and the song came out of it. So this is this is a song I wrote with David Whittacombe, although he wasn't there. He was just there in blog form. But and there's a bit of a sing-along thing, but I'll teach it to you as it goes. Love is our way to God, for God is love. Love is our way to God, for God is love. The wilderness road of shame is gone. The desert road of dislocation gone. The stony road of loneliness has now become the royal way, a highway home. Love is our way to God. For God is love, sing. Love is our way to God, for God is love. Love is our way to God, for God is love. You sing it. Love is our way to God. And all who carry disappointments come. And those who fear the fire of judgment come. And you who teach this royal way is not for some, shame on you. Now lovers come, 'cause love is our way to God, for God is love. You sing it. I'll sing it. Love is our way to God, for God is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love pays ill, no, never mind. Love refines the finest gold, the charity of saintly souls. The only thing left for us to do is love. If this alone be done, it is enough. And as we love the other, God abides in us. God unseen, seen in love. Love is our way to God, for God is love. Sing. Love is our way to God, for God. Again. Love is our way to God, for God is love. One last time. Love is our way to God, for God is love. We're talking about the physicality of worship. Love also is, there's a physicality to it, right? You can't see love. It has to be actually embodied, right? It just kind of has to be. It's not actually just a strict emotion. We make a terrible error in that. But this is an interesting line that came out of a sermon. The only thing left for us to do is love. And if this alone be done, it is enough. And as we love the other, God abides in us. God unseen, but seen in love, right? That's why we do this, right? That's why we actually hug people and give them stuff made of material, flowers or whatever. This world is a fantastic place for communicating love and all the material that we have, and we need to honor and love this place. It's an amazing gift. Okay. Sun comes about with a force and a strength, bursting out from the ground like a hound to the race. It's the same every day after day unto ages unending. And I believe there's more to this than we're getting. It again rose today, as I've come to expect, like a bridegroom who wakes from his honeymoon bed to the one that he loves and the object of all he can offer. And I believe there's something good here to ponder. The law of the Lord is right, a blazing light, ever making wise the simple. The wisdom of God is whole, restoring the soul and the honor of his people. What can gold mean to my heart when much sweeter, clear by far, is the counsel of the Holy One, my rock and my redeemer and my God, my God. The heavens proclaim what I'm trying to say, night after night and day after day. There's no time, there's no place, no speech where the truth is suspending. And I believe that some things need no defending. The law of the Lord is right, a blazing light, ever making wise the simple. The wisdom of God is whole, restoring the soul and the honor of his people. What can gold mean to my heart when much sweeter fear by far is the counsel of the Holy One, my rock and my redeemer and my God, my God. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing to you, my God, my God. Thank you. So that's from Psalm 19, right? That's a beauty. That's a great song. I'll play another song. I've just written a book on the Psalms with my friend Jamie Howison. He's an Anglican priest in town, and we collected all the Psalms I've written to music on one CD, and then we wrote a chapter for each one. So it's coming out in a couple of weeks, and it's kind of a devotional thing. But my own prayer life was really kickstarted by the Psalms. When I was a little boy, I was taught to pray, that we needed to pray, and it never made any sense to me. Why are we telling God stuff that he apparently already knows, right? Never really quite made sense to me, you know. And so, but you do it because you're told you should. And but I didn't really understand prayer, I don't think. And I remember when I prayed, I kind of had two gods I was praying to alternately. If it was a good day and I'd been good, I was praying to the Santa Claus God, right? If I hadn't been so, and then I just asked for stuff. And if I hadn't been good, then I was praying to the angry God, and then I groveled and begged forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. But they're almost like, it was almost like a split personality God that I had in mind, I think, when I look back. And so it just kind of never connected, you know. And then when I got older, and life started to get really kind of more complicated, interestingly, shortly after I got married, when I realized that it was life was going to be harder than I thought, and I didn't have the resources for life, it was the Psalms that gave me language to speak and pray, and it came out in song. And so this is what I've been doing a lot of ever since. So here's one of the first Psalms I ever put to music, and this is from Psalm 40. Patiently waited for you, a desolate waiting for you, and you heard my cry, oh Lord. You pulled me from my rebog, and you set me upon a rock and made my steps secure. own, Lord. You put a new song in my heart, a new song of praise to my God. Do not thou, O Lord, withhold your steadfast love and mercy from me. Mercy from me. Do not thou, O Lord, withhold your steadfast love and mercy from me. Mercy from me. I told the great congregation the good news of your salvation. I could not conceal it anymore. And blessed are those who seek you, and trusting your love they seek you, always saying, great is the Lord. You put a new song in their hearts, new song of praise to their God. Do not thou, O Lord, withhold your steadfast love and mercy from me. Mercy from me. Do not thou, O Lord, withhold your steadfast love and mercy from me. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish you guys could see what I've been seeing here. There's this very beautiful young girl here who's just been kind of popping her head up and smiling and giggling a little bit, and it's very lovely. So I had the best view of the house. It's not the same for you.
He's talking about one of my kids. So I'd like to start by saying that I forgot my notes. 1 second. And if Pastor Gary can bring me my bulletin, I'd be grateful. So I want to thank Steve for coming out today and helping us with this and with our service. And at this time, I would like to make him an honorary Mennonite by giving him another really big round of applause. Welcome to the club. But you're more Mennonite than most people I've met. So, anyway, and I see that many of you have worn your best tearaway clothing for Danny's Whole Hog Lunch. So make sure that you're all ready there with your bibs and to dig in for this wonderful homecoming experience, what we used to know as the church picnic. But in any case, I would like to start by the call to worship. And if you could all take out your bulletins and read with me, we'll start. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now think to yourself, what does that mean? If God is in everything, is everything, and all things to you and to me, then if you don't love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you must be, how many of you know the meaning of the word masochistic? Anyways, the way some of us treat others, even though the presence of God is within them, sometimes we treat others with a lot of disrespect. And Christ's number one challenge is to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't love yourself, you really don't have the ability to love anyone. So bear that in mind. And I'd like to introduce any guests. Are there any guests in the audience? Okay. Do you all know? I guess you all know Steve. He's our special guest today. And welcome here, and you're welcome to stay here. today he's going to be with his lovely bride on her birthday instead of eating Danny's whole hog. We know where his priorities lie. And we'd like to grace you with some worship music. Steve is going to bless us with some worship music.
Okay, this is simple to learn. I can't imagine I didn't do this last year, so you probably know it. Just repeat after me. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one. Who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, all praise his name forever. I'll sing it with you. All praise and honor and glory and power, all praise his name forever. Okay, let's sing it together. Praise the Father. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, all praise his name forever. Okay, listen. And who is the one to whom you belong? Who in your weakness has made you strong? Who fills your heart with joyful song? Well, it is the Lord your God, so sing. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and who is the one whom for you died, was mocked and spat at and crucified, who rose from the dead and is glorified? Well, it is the Lord your God, so sing. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, all praise his name forever. Listen one more time. And who is the one who with you will be from highest mountain to darkest valley? And who is the one whom in you dwells? It is the Lord your God, so sing. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, all praise his name
Would you invite Chris, the two Chrises, to come and join me, please? Chris Titterton and Chris McDonald. He's coming. He's sitting upstairs. Chris, I would like to pass on some thank yous to you as a colleague. Thank you for your honesty in the way that you share the gospel. I don't remember a whole lot of altar calls that you offered, but I do know that you were motivated by your love for Jesus. Thank you for being willing to risk honesty as you worked with our youth and young adults to present to them a gospel which was honest and open. Thank you for your willingness to stretch and grow. There were times I pushed you pretty hard to deal with issues and to follow up on issues, and you responded graciously, so thank you. Thank you for being a team player. You were willing to come morning meetings even if you only had one eye open, but you were there. You were also there available for me to chat you with when I had issues that I was working through and needed an ear, and so thank you for that and for challenging me. Thank you for your servant attitude. You were hired staff, yet you were quick to step back and let others receive the accolades. You were willing to do the work and let others get the credit. Thank you for your gentle nature. You never got pushy or demanding, or even in difficult situations. And thank you for your humor and your delightful gift of sarcasm. I'm not sure anyone I know has a better turn of phrase than you. You love to laugh and brought joy into our lives. Chris, it's been an honor and a privilege to work with you these past years, and on behalf of the staff here at NKMC at least, I would like to say thank you. I'd like to invite the rest of you to join. If you look in your bulletin, you will see a litany, and am I going to lead this? Or are you going to lead this? Okay, I will be the leader, and you will be the congregation. And we are speaking to Chris. Chris, we want to thank you. We want to say thank you with a clear conscience. We want to release you. And we want to bless you. Before we have a prayer of blessing, Chris McDonald, our congregational chair, would like to have a few words.
Chris, on behalf of Church Council, I would like to say thank you for leading our youth for the past couple of years. You took over that position when we were in a state of tumultuous state, and you did a great job taking our youth and keeping them together and leading them in God's way. And I would like to say thank you very much on behalf of council, on behalf of the congregation. We wish you all the best in your future ministries. We wish to encourage you to continue to pursue those ministries and know that you are loved here and that you will always be appreciated. God bless you.
As we often do prayers of blessing, we'd like to invite those of you who would like to come up and lay a hand on Chris. Is this okay? Okay. We don't want to surprise him too far ahead. So if you'd like to, please come up and put a hand on Chris, and we'll have a prayer of blessing. The rest of you will ask to stand, please. Yeah, just place a hand on Chris or somebody that has a hand on Chris. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your church, a family where we are invited to belong and use the gifts and abilities to build each other up. Thank you for those who invest their lives in others, to Today we think especially of Chris Titterton and the way that he has faithfully worked here at the church as our youth worker. Thank you for his love for you and your people, for his gentle nature and kind ways. Many have been blessed through him. Give us grace to allow change, to thank Chris for all he has done and release him from this work, to see the new ways that he will work here in the future. Bless Chris as he begins a new chapter of his life. Give him joy as he reflects back, knowing that he was faithful in your call to be here, even as you have been faithful to him. Give Chris and Rachel new dreams and visions as to what it means to follow you as they begin their life together shortly. Amen. Thanks, Chris.
I would like to start the announcements by saying for you all to take note of the insert that is in your bulletin. A worthy cause, of course. A lot of our members are in Betania. To continue to pray for Tante Louise and pray for Terry McKee and her family, Terry Schrader McKee, and keep Jorga and Darlene Matias and Manuel Hildego in your prayers. Manuel, age 2, is currently being treated for neuroblastoma cancer. Very, very sad. The family has moved back to Winnipeg to receive better medical treatment. For more info, please see the following link and you can take note of it there. Today, we'd like to welcome Tim Wenger, who will be starting his halftime position as Pastor of Faith Development on September 15th. Job descriptions are available on the front table in the foyer. Missions Choir will be singing a Betania September 14th at 7, so take note of that. And thank you to the 29 people who have signed up to help with Sunday school. The NKMC choir will be starting to rehearse for Thanksgiving and other special services between now and Christmas. So for those of you who would like to rejoice in Thanksgiving, they will be September 20th, 27th, and October 4th from 9:45 to 10:45, and all singers are welcome. I saw that only one of you has a soul. I don't know how to figure that out, but it's sitting right in the parking lot. That's pretty weird. Nobody laugh, please. There will be a brief congregational meeting after the service on September 20th, so take note of that. And the baby boomers in North Kildonan, those born between 1946 and 1964, there's got to be an error because that's 1957, but whatever. On September 20th, please, immediately following the constitutional meeting, we would like to meet at Fraser's Grove Park for lunch, visiting, and lawn games. Bring a bag lunch. Oh, so they invite you for lunch and then they tell you to bring one. Okay. The Pioneer Boys Club is in need of volunteers to keep this great program running. And I'd like to ask Chris to come up, Phil, to come up and make this announcement, please.
Good morning. So I have good news and bad news regarding the Pioneer Boys Club. Good news, I have two young men who have graciously volunteered to help out with the club. The bad news is that I am the only one over 18, and we need some more adults in order to have a proper club. And so that also, at this state, we will not be starting Boys Club next week, Monday. But to end on good news, because we still want to have something, I guess there's thoughts that, hey, we have a boys' club, but not really a girls' club. maybe it can work if we have a kids club and we can get enough volunteers that way. And then my own kid can come too, and then it's a little easier. But so on September 27th, on, I don't know if it was before church or after church, I forget that part of it, but we'll let you know next week, September 27th, hopefully in connection with Tim and whatever he's all doing, we can kind of figure something out and get something that will work for everyone, and we can get some volunteers and have something for the kids in the church during the week, and which will tentatively start in October. So, yes, you can talk to me if you have any questions or are itching to help out in such an endeavor. All right, thank you.
Or arguments? Anything directed straight to Phil? Willing helpers, ladies, will meet Monday, September 21st at 7 o'clock. Anybody who wants to join, join. Elma and Linda Titterton are working on collecting photos for a PowerPoint presentation on October 4th, 2015, when along with the Thanksgiving NKMC will also celebrate their 80th anniversary. If you have any digital photos showing what's currently, anything in the past 10 years is current, happening or has happened in any church groups you have been or are involved in, please consider forwarding them to Elma as soon as possible, and you see the email address there. I guess they have all the pictures of our forebearers. NKMC will continue with the annual clothing fair, so read that. And on a very special note, the Shoal Lake number 40 band is in dire need of clean drinking water. And in conjunction with Mennonite Church Canada, I will be doing a performance on November 20th at Sam's Place from 7 till 10. So please, the admission is $10, and everything goes to a clean drinking water machine, and they're also putting pressure to bear on the government to make sure that a road is eventually built. So I'd like to point that out. I'd like to start off sharing time by thanking all of you who have prayed for my children over the summer. As you know, they went to Dauphin Bible Camp and also did further training with my father-in-law, who called this morning, and he was peeing a lot of blood, and he headed straight for the hospital, and he's pushing another kidney stone. So please keep him in your prayers. And my daughter Allison for safe passage to Austria, where they did exceptionally well. So I want to share that and tell you how proud I am of my children. Does anyone want to share anything else? Operators are standing by.
Good morning. This is a special invitation that we've already seen 60 people downstairs at the new music room wall, and they've put their handprint on there forever. But I can see that there are a lot more people here that we can expect to come during lunch today. If you have to dash off and can't have lunch with us today, we will have other opportunities for you to put your handprint on that wall. But it's looking really awesome, and we'd love to have you contribute. So there will be volunteers down there during lunch, and we can help you through that process. Thank you.
Last time I looked, you've all got them. Everybody's got a hand, right? And now I'd like to invite Pastor Gary to come up and give us the prayer of God's people.
A congregational prayer is our joint prayer. It's a time when we collectively bring our prayers before God, few weeks ago, Lainey Lussier was here and was telling us that in Revelation, the picture is that of incense, the incense going up together before God. And those are our prayers. Our prayer card, you're holding one of them in your hand. It's a bulletin. Invite you to continually look through that through the week as you pray. And the other one is the newspaper. We should have that in the other hand as we pray for the world. I invite you to bow with me as we pray. God, we come before you as your people today. There's many points of celebration. But as we come into your presence, everything is forgotten and set aside as we are aware of who you are. We come before you and we see your incredible love and your forgiveness and all those things that you bring to us. And we stand in awe. God, we want to thank you for the way that you have blessed us with family and friends, with church community, and with all the things that we have to make our lives full and rich. But God, we also come before you with concerns. We think of Louise Lage, who has been in the hospital for these many months. Continue to be with her, give the medical community wisdom as they respond to her, and give her and Rudy patience, and help them to feel your arms of embrace as they are in the hospital. We think of the many people who continue to be an important part of our congregation in care homes. Help them today and each day to feel your love and nearness, and thank you for the many who go to visit them. God, we have come today also to think of the larger world. We think of the situation in Syria, for instance, and the plight that we have seen in our papers of people fleeing the terrible conditions there at the risk often of their life. Help us to be compassionate as we respond. Thank you so much for those in positions of authority who are beginning to open doors of countries to welcome them in, to give them another chance at life. We come this morning, God, to reaffirm our connection to you, to say once again, yes, we want to follow you. Yes, we want to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, don't sit so far away. Come a little closer, please. Thank you, Christian. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Hi. Fruit, yes. Somebody already saw. I would ask you all about your summer, but there's way too many of you, and you'll have to meet me at lunch and tell me what you all did. Okay? Okay. For the next couple of weeks, upstairs, the grown-ups are going to be talking about what, do you think? Fruit. Fruits of the Spirit. I've got lots of different fruits. Does anyone know what they are? Hands up. Yes. There's an orange. What else? Yeah. A kiwi fruit. Yes. Apples. What else? There's a pear. Yes. I'm going to have that after my lunch today. And here's a peach. I'm going to tell you right now, the grown-ups are not going to be talking about this kind of fruit. They're going to be talking about fruits of the Spirit and what that kind of means. Now, I just want to make sure I get it right. It says it's about a different kind of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the way that we act when we put our faith in Jesus, when we ask him to forgive us and promise to be his followers. So the Bible tells us that when we do that, the Holy Spirit will fill us with love and produce fruit in our life. So what kind of tree do you think would make this kind of fruit? An apple tree. You're trying to be silly. An apple tree would make this kind of fruit. Now, what kind of fruit do you think you would see from people who love Jesus? What kind? Well, if I love Jesus, what kind of fruit might I bear? Jesus fruit? What kinds of things do we see when we think about Jesus? You think about grapes when you think about Jesus? Cool. Okay, what kinds of things did Jesus do when he was on earth that people could see? What kinds of things came out of him? Yep. Miracles, yes. And why did he do the miracles, do you think? Because it was fun. I'm sure I would do miracles too if I could. Did he do them because he loved us? So when we love Jesus, do you think that people see love in us? Yes, that's kind of what I was hoping for you to get to. So when you see someone filled with the Holy Spirit, you expect to see things that are good, the kinds of things that Jesus did. So love and joy and patience. So those are the kinds of things that should be in our lives when we are loving God. Now, some of you have been in my kindergarten class. Was Mrs. White always patient? No. I did my very, very best, but sometimes, I got a little impatient. What did I do? Does anyone remember what I did when I was impatient? After I was impatient. I don't want you to tell everybody what I did when I was impatient. But after I became patient again, what was one of the things I did? Rhea, Jalen, do you remember? Did I apologize? Yeah, I did apologize. And did I try really hard not to be impatient again? Yes. And did you forgive me? Yes. So you were being like God to me. You were forgiving me. And God knows that we will not always be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind. But he wants us to try. And when we do, he will fill us with his Spirit. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about all those wonderful fruits that we can bear in the community and in our lives when we're connected to God. Can we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit so that we will show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you get to go back and sit with your parents today.
And with the abundance of the fruit of the Spirit, it's time to take the offering. Steve, would you bless us with a song for the offering?
What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this? What kind of man is this who died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this who laid aside his throne that I might know the love of God? What kind of man is this? By faith I have been saved. It is a gift of God who destined me to be his own. Such is his love. No eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard, nor has the heart of man conceived. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this?
Thank you, Steve. I'm going to be reading from Galatians 5, verse 5, from chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, and then 22 to 25. And I have to say that Chris Titterton is the embodiment of this, and he has been such a blessing to me and to my family, and it's, you know, it's ongoing. I mean, he will keep going in the spirit of love and joy. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't just mean your neighbor, that means everybody. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thanks, Charles. I was going to say it's a bit of a difficult time for me to say goodbye to Chris. I have appreciated a lot of things. In fact, I've been jealous of some things of Chris. It's been good to have him here. I was going to say it's a little warm today. You'll be glad to know that the church council has decided to put in air conditioning, I think, this next week. We just thought it would be cheaper to run in winter, so. Let's take a minute to pray before we take a look at this passage. God, whenever we take a look at your word and you invite us to change, we are deeply touched. Touched because you believe in us. Touched because you see in us more than we see in ourselves. So thank you. Thank you for believing us. Thank you for the freedom that allows us to become. So be with us now as we take a look at your word and give us hope for ourselves, for our church, and for our world. Amen. Those of you who know me know I am a little bit technologically challenged. In fact, I've been called a Luddite. I'm not real good at things. When I'm typing and I hit the wrong key and my whole computer changes, I just have to live with it because I don't know what to do about that until I get somebody in to fix it. Building a house, bought this fancy-dancy computer which tells you how many shingles to put on, given the pitch and how to cut boards, and I never really got past the first page of instructions. I never did get to use it. It's very nice. It's green if anybody wants to borrow it. This last summer, I got a new phone. My old one, the printing was getting smaller and smaller, and so this one works really well. It's an i6, but it's got an oddity to it, and this is the honest truth. I've discovered, it's taken me a while to figure out how this works, but I've discovered that after I've been texting, I typically put it back in my pocket, and it begins recording. I don't know what that is. You pull it out, and it's got this little bar down here which shows the lines. It's recording, and that's fine most of the time. I just hit the delete, and it deletes, but sometimes, as I'm trying to get rid of it, you get this droop sound that when you've sent a text. I have no idea who it went to. I have no idea. Yeah, my kids have gotten some. But you know, I'll tell you something. It sends a shot of terror through me when that happens. It happened again the other day. I was at the funeral home chatting with a friend of mine who's a funeral director, and I pulled out my phone for something, and there I had 5.5 minutes that I had recorded. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I went to delete it, and then zoop. And I thought, and then I started thinking, what did I say in the last 5.5 minutes? Because like Mrs. White, I don't always do the right thing. And I'm thinking, oh my, did I talk about something that I shouldn't have? And then I think through my contact list, who did that go to? Well, them is okay. Oh no. And you might laugh at me, but we all get there. We all get there. Do you ever go out for coffee with your friends? And you come home, and you stop and you say, what did we do? and you think about your conversation together, and most of it was just fine, and then you realize that you started a dialogue about somebody which was inappropriate. It's called gossip. And you were talking, and you come home, and you say, why did I do that? You bang your head on the table, and you're just really, really glad you didn't have my phone. Because you would have sent that to somebody. By the way, if anybody did get that from me, that soundbite, please, I'm sorry, please forgive me, please delete it. And there are other things we do as well. You've had a tough day at the office, you come home, and somebody cuts you off, and you get mad enough to go and kick him in the hubcaps, just really, really ticked off. Or you come home and you get angry at your family, inappropriately. You know, all those things that come up in our life, where does it come from? We don't want to do that, and there it is. Because if you sit down and you think about it, you say, I don't want to get ticked off at people. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to be mad at the people I love the most. Why does this, and many, many other things, where did it come from? Why did that happen? And it happens in churches too. As a church, we all know what we want to do. We want to have doors that open for people. We want to be welcoming. We want to be available for the Spirit of God to blow fresh air in one side and out the other, and we'll respond. And mostly that does happen. But sometimes we come to church and we get closed little circles, and we forget to welcome the people coming through the door. And sometimes we get lost in how we've always done things, and we don't have room for the Spirit of God to blow new life through us. And at the moment, it's this, I think we call it righteous indignation. We say, how dare we do this? And then when we go home and think about it, we say, why were we like that? Why didn't I go and visit the new person who came through the door? Incidentally, if you see some new people today, make sure you do that. But why didn't I say, huh, never done that before, haven't sung those songs before. What a good idea. We can do that. So why don't we do what we want to do is the question. And Paul says, I got the answer. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 25. He says, you know, on the inside, I want to do what's right. God made us that way. But I keep doing what I don't want to do. What's the matter for me? What's the matter for me? A fascinating passage. Over the next 5 weeks, we want to take a look at the passage in Galatians, which talks about this. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it begins with a discussion, which we want to have briefly today, about how we get there. How we get to the place where we're doing what we don't want to do. Now, the theme of Galatians is freedom. It's delightful. God wants to set us free from and to. God wants to set us free from whatever it is that pulls us off track and gets us doing things we don't want to do. And God wants to set us free to be the people that we long to be, that God has created us to be. So Paul says there's three things going on in Galatians. Three things going on. The first thing is you and me. There we are, created in the image of God, and inside we really do want to follow God. We're built that way. The second thing he says is what he calls the flesh. And it gets a little tricky because in other places in Galatians, he uses the flesh just to describe being human. But the flesh is used to describe the force that pulls off to being really selfish and to do everything that we want. And he says, if you want to know if this is at work in your life, just take a look. Anger, jealousy, envy, rage, all those other kinds of things. That just kind of happens when you do that. So when you follow the flesh, you do the things you don't want to do. Well, we all get there. And that doesn't go away when we become Christians. That pull is always there. The third thing he says that's going on is the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit comes as a force that helps us head the other direction to do the things that we want to do. Now, the Bible tells us that all who have become Christians, all who have heard the invitation of God and have turned around, have been born from above, as John puts it in John chapter 3, have the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 says that. We are Christians, we've got the Spirit of God in us. So easy, right? Become a Christian, done. No more struggles. Not so much. we find ourselves as Christians still being pulled both ways. Now, there's two interesting words in this passage. Well, they're actually between the two passages that Charles read. First one is in that I mentioned is in verse 18. It says, since we are led by the Spirit, that's a passive verb. We are led. So God is at work in us. The fruit of the Spirit aren't something we squeeze out. They just happen. That's the Spirit of God at work. And so the love that shows in our life isn't us being loving. It's the love of God. The joy that comes in our life isn't us being happy. It's the joy of God. And so forth, through all the nine gifts that are mentioned there. When God's Spirit is at work in our life, we begin to see evidence of that when we see the character of God showing in our life. So that's the passive part of it. Verse 16 says, as we walk in the Spirit, that verb is active. That means you got a part to play. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. But the tense is not punctiliar. It's not a one-time act. Be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I was in 1964. Done. It's an ongoing thing. So every morning you wake up and you say, God, fill me with your Spirit. It should be read, keep on being filled with the Spirit. We need to work at that. So how do we work at that? Well, within our tradition, people who are black, we do that through prayer, through reading God's word, through study, through worship. Wonderful. And so we work at being people who are walking in the Spirit. We open ourselves up for the Spirit to work. But guess what? There are other traditions out there with great ideas for how we can walk in the Spirit. There's a contemplative traditions which invite us to meditate, to have build spiritual friendships, to journal. There's lots of ways that we open ourselves up. There's the Iona community or the Tizé community. All of these have different ideas and music to invite us to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, to create a culture of acceptance in our life for the wind of the Spirit to blow through us, so that we can be the people that God has called us to be, so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit and be Christian, which means Christ-like. The love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ. And that's how we get that going. It's an ongoing thing. As we heard in the children's story, we all goof. We still feel the flesh pulling us this way. We want to do it our way. We still land up saying inappropriate things when we don't know that our phone is recording us. We treat people inappropriately. There's lots of things we do. And thank the good Lord for grace and mercy and forgiveness. We come back and he says, yeah, you kind of did mess up, didn't you? Gives us a big hug, forgives us. And on we go, open to the moving of the Spirit. Now, I want to very briefly mention the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Now, this isn't really the first fruit of the Spirit. Love is sort of an umbrella that covers all the other eight that he lists. Love covers all. It's sort of like 1 John 5 says, I think it's verse 8, that God is love at the end of the verse, if you want to look that up. God is love. It encompasses all that's God. And so love encompasses all that is the fruit of the Spirit as well. Now, there's an interesting contradiction that we find when it comes to this concept of love. See, the book of Galatians says that he has set us free. It is for freedom that you've been set free, that don't get caught up again in slavery, he says in verse 1 of chapter 5. So we are free to experience God's love. We push away the stuff that doesn't want it, and we're free to live God's love. So we begin to love other people. So there's a sense of freedom there. But what does God's love look like? We find the example of what it means to love in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Beautiful passage. If you ever want to memorize something, that would be the one to do it. Have you gotten anything from your relationship with God? Let's put it into practice. And then about verse 5, he starts talking about what that looks like. He says that Jesus came down to love us. He set aside heaven for us. We think it's a huge compromise when somebody phones us and we're at the lake and we have to come back and do something. He left heaven to come be with us. It's sort of like that, only maybe a little bigger. Then he hung out with people, the people that he created. And not all the people who thought they were all that. He hung out with the broken people. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the job description of Jesus. Wonderful, an inspiration for us. Then it says, and he went so far as to die on the cross. It's not the physical dying that was so huge. Many people have suffered. It's the separation from the Father. Jesus' cry on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the loneliest verse in the whole Bible. It's the separation from God that he did for us. That's love. So what does that look like? He says in that passage about verse 5, he says, put the needs of others ahead of yourself. Jesus came to show love through service. We become somebody's servant or somebody's slave when we love them. So we were freed to be slaves. Isn't that delightful? We become the slaves of the people that God has placed around us. Now, if our love is based on God's love and we say we are slaves, then the whole notion of loving our enemy is no stretch at all. Because loving doesn't have anything to do with what I'm getting back. My loving you has no impact on who you are. I love you because the love of God comes through me to you. Well now, that leaves me with a very hard question. Are there people that I don't love? Are there people at work that get under my skin? No, not me, personally. I just work with great people here. Sorry, Leanna. Are there people in your neighborhood who just bug you? You know the neighbor who blows the snow onto your driveway every winter? Are there people in your family who just take you off? And there's nothing you can do to make them happy. They just... born to be an annoyance, you know. Are there people like that in your life? Now let's stretch that just a little bit. Are there groups of people that get on you, under your skin? People of different cultures or languages, people who have chosen different lifestyles. Are there other people that we don't love? The invitation of this passage is for us to consider that, because when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, what's coming out the other end? What's the result of what's going on in here? And that is love. So the invitation for us, when there are people, the invitation to me, when there are people that I don't love, is to sit down and say, do I need to open myself up in a new way for the Holy Spirit to get through so that I can begin to love them and care about them the way that Christ did? How's that song go again? They will know we are Christians by our love.
Father, just before the hour comes that was set aside to glorify your Son with the glory from before the world began, with the glory given to no other man. Protect the ones you've given me to love. I so desire that none of them be lost. They've yet to understand the mystery, why the Son of God would wash another's feet. But this is not the same. It's a different thing altogether. This is not the same. It's another thing altogether. This is love. My prayer is not for only these alone, but for those who follow after and gone. May they understand the love you have for me as the kind of love that changes everything. They argue who will sit next to the throne, and I cringe to hear them say, "Thy kingdom come." They think they know what they're getting into, but we both know that they haven't got a clue. 'Cause this is not the same, it's a different thing altogether. This is not the same, it's another thing altogether. 'Cause this is love, this is love. Now here's something that they won't like. Someone's coming to take the life. No one has to look farther than me, 'cause I am He. Some will trust in the things they think they know. They should think again and let them go. Put away the sword and get behind, and let me die. 'Cause this is not the same, it's a different thing altogether. This is not the same, it's a better thing altogether. 'Cause this is love, this is love.
Just a reminder that I'd like to encourage you to go down and put your handprint on the wall. Take a look at the classrooms. They're beautiful. And also, everyone's invited to come downstairs. Apparently, Danny's got a whole hog waiting for us there. So, would you please stand for the benediction? As people who are truly loved by God and freed to love others with God's love, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle, we will rise. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of the wings. Sorry. On the wings of we will rise. Sorry. Go. Na 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 na. Na 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 on the wing.
wings. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise.
Amen. Thank you.